2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. My text verse is verse number 5. Throughout the Bible, power comes from God. There's a difference between our power or effort and God's power. Deuteronomy 8 says this, "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." So there's our power and effort, and then there's God's power. God tells Pharaoh that Pharaoh was raised up so God could show his power in delivering Israel. God tells through Moses, he says, "Pharaoh, and in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee," in Pharaoh, "my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." Listen to these verses on God's power. 2 Samuel 22:33 says, "God is my strength and power." Psalm 147 verse 5 says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." And Jeremiah 10:12, "He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion." In the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David so he could behave himself wisely, and God directed King David. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson because the Lord was his power. In Luke 10:19, I'd like you to go to Romans chapter 8, but just listen to these verses. God says, "Behold," Jesus is talking here, Jesus says, "I want to give you my power." We learn real quickly as we read the Bible, for me to be any success of a Christian, I have to have God's power. I can't live the Christian life in my power. I don't care how much character you got. I don't care how much talent you have. God can bring you to the place where you are at the end of yourself and you learn you don't have everything that it takes. I have to have God's power. You're in Romans 8. Just listen to this. Luke 10, Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." He's talking about demons. He says, "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." Luke 24:49 says, Jesus said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." I cannot live the Christian life unless I let Christ live through me. Rephrase that. I cannot live the Christian life without God's power. I can't. Without God's power, I will just be me, and I'm a jerk. I'm very selfish. I'm very self-centered. I do what's good for me, and the only way I can live the Christian life and be like Jesus is if he empowers me. You're in Romans chapter 8. Would you look, please, at verse number 10? "And if Christ be in you," so when you get saved, God Almighty lives inside of you. If Christ, who died for you, now lives inside of you because you've placed your faith in him, "if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin." It's talking about our physical body. "But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies." That means the same power that Jesus saved you with, he can help your mortal physical body. You say, "What am I interested in that for?" Because that means if you got bad habits, once you get saved, God's power can help you break the bad habits and build good habits in your life. How do you break the habit of smoking? You yield to the Holy Spirit. It takes God's power. That's hard to do. How can you help somebody that's an addict? How can you help somebody? Their body is addicted to things. God says the same Spirit of God that lives inside of you can, if you'll let it, help your mortal body. That means God can help what you talk about, That's changed through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. How does a filthy mouth get changed? By yielding to the Holy Spirit. And the same power that it took to save you is the same power that it can take to change your habits and change your Christian character. You're in Romans chapter 8, very important verse. Can you go over two books to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and look at verse number 18? But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I'll tell you a neat way to underline that verse. If you underline the word we, then if you'll underline the two words are changed, then if you'll underline at the end of the verse, by the Spirit of the Lord. Here's how it reads. We are all changed by the Spirit of the Lord. What changes us is the power of the Holy Spirit. How is your life changed? It's by the Spirit of God. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We are all changed. Our thinking habits, our talking habits, our life. How does God change us? When you yield to the Holy Spirit, then you access that power that can change you. You say, well, I got a bad habit of doing this. I need help doing this. Or, boy, howdy, if I'm not careful, I just gossip about this. How can I change that? We're all changed by the Spirit of the Lord. And the only reason our lives don't change is because we don't let God's Spirit do that. God's willing to change us. It's when we say, gone far enough, you know, as they say over in the Middle East, tenju berimuds. Thank you very much. Get it? Good accent. All right. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. We have to have God's power. 2 Peter, this is backed by Revelation in the New Testament there. According, ready? 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 3. What a beautiful verse to think about. But according, 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God says his power can give you all things. Everything it takes to live the Christian life, God gave you when he saved you. And if you will yield to the Holy Spirit, he gives you everything you need to be a good husband, to be a good wife, to be a good son, to be a good daughter, to be a good Christian. Everything you need, God's word says, his power has given it to us. The problem is sometimes we don't have God's power. If we're living our life in our power and our effort, then no, you're not going to have access to those things. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, just listen closely. The next verse I'd like you to go to, I'd like you to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we started. 1 Peter 1, 5 says, we're kept by the power of God, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I love that verse. What is it that keeps you saved? It's not my power. It's his power. I'm kept by the power of God. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that changes me. And he's the one that keeps me saved. Amen. So it's all the Lord. Now, listen closely. You're going to 2 Timothy 3. Just listen. What is this power? This power, I think you could put into three categories or groups. Either way, but God's power is first of all in his word. If you read Psalm 29, it says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I think the first access to God's power is through his word. The word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. What else is God's power? So we've got the Bible. Next, we have the Holy Spirit. We've talked about that a little bit. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So God has given us the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. What else? You've got the Bible. Then you've got the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Finally here, God's power is also the gospel. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, that is what gets people saved. Jesus died for your sins, he was buried in a tomb, and he rose again for your sins. That is the gospel, and that is the power of God. Now that we know what the power of God is, let's look at my text verse tonight. Look at verse number 5. You're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Watch this. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. If that doesn't describe American Christianity, look at verse number 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That is the day and age we're living in. They do things for them. How about verse number 4? Look at the end of verse number 4. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Have you ever seen a society that centers around sports so much? Sports determines everything. It's a success if sports is involved. Sports can actually, in our society, take precedence over church. It doesn't. That's the day and age we're living at. Here, God says people can have a form of godliness and deny his power. There is a divine power, then, that is made available to you as a child of God. If you have it as you yield and surrender to the Lord, the Lord's Word, the Holy Spirit, and the gospel. This passage describes Christians that want the image of a Christian but deny God's power. They want to be a Christian in title only, but I don't want my life to change. I don't want to become more godly. I want just to be known as godly. That's what it says, right? Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. I don't want God to touch my life. And that's the day and age we're living in. Now let me change gears on you. There's a lot of concern about an EMP attack. You know what that is? Electromagnetic pulse. This is caused by a nuclear bomb exploding about 100 to 300 miles above the Earth. And then EMPs can also be caused by solar flares from the sun, which send charged particles to the Earth. And then because it electrically fries computers, cell phones, new cars, power transformers, large areas would be without power for a year or longer. And that's what they're estimating with the threat of EMPs. Or what would happen if the power went out? And they say our power grid is very outdated, it's very susceptible, it's very vulnerable to attack. And they have been doing some tests around the globe showing and proving how weak our grid is here in America. That if a terrorist wanted to attack America, they can shut down huge cities, literally within a matter of minutes. And then there is no power for a long time. In 1989, a few years ago, Quebec's grid was hit with a solar flare. They were out for about 6 months, no power. You have to understand, when an electromagnetic pulse hits, they're not sure what it does to DC power, direct current, but they know what it does to AC. It so fries the unit that you can't fix it. You have to replace it. And if an EMP hit our grid here, it so fries the lines, they have to replace the line. They have to, it cooks the whole system. In May of 2013, just 4 years ago, a Class X flare from the sun, which is the most powerful solar flare, sideswiped the Earth, and they said it just missed us. But they said had that Class X solar flare hit the Earth, it would have blackened out everything that it would have hit. Now, obviously not the whole Earth, but you understand that side or that continent that it would have impacted. It just sideswiped us 4 years ago. So you've got a nuclear threat of an EMP blast. Then you have solar flares that could happen at any time. Those threats are real. In 2013, my family and I, we were in the eye of Sandy, Hurricane Sandy. We were in the eye of the hurricane. I have never seen in my life 120-mile-an-hour winds. I did that time. I've been in tornadoes, but not like that one. I've never seen the hugest oak trees, all of that. I've seen them sway, but I haven't seen them bent all the way over to the ground and then coming uprooted. It was an education. Our family was in a house. Praise the Lord. We were right. They said the eye of the storm is right over Avenel, you know, where we were at in New Jersey. And we watched that. And then when the power went out, everything was flooding around us, and the power went out for 5 days. Is that the longest we've been without power? How long do you remember it being out? Was it out? Okay. See, I'm trying not to exaggerate tonight. Amen. So it was at least 5 days. Amen. I wanted to think it was about a week, but I knew 5 days was safe. We were without power for 5 days. That was a new experience. All five kids in the house, all of us. Then the looting begins. A prison was just six blocks from us. A prison. What happens when the security system goes down and cuckoo birds are everywhere? I remember about the third night we were cooking on a grill. We would pull the grill inside so that the heat would kind of be in the house too. You know, it was propane. It wasn't charcoal. Okay.
Oh, really?
Okay. We were doing all our cooking on a grill. And somebody had seen us doing that, and that night, about, I think, 12, 1 o'clock, we had a whole group of people around the house. They were looking for that grill. They wanted food, so it was time to... Kids upstairs, daddy's downstairs. Daddy's going to take out the bad guys. Praise God, no shots fired, amen? But it was, when people start looting and they get hungry and they want food, they do nutso things. They do nutso things. So we were... The effects... Now... Here's what you can start learning. The effects of electrical power on our physical lives and the effects of God's power on our spiritual lives are similar, and they help us see the problems more clearly. How about this? Just a couple of points tonight. Listen closely. When the power is off, you have the same stuff you had when the power was on, but you can't use it. You can use most wells to get water until the power goes out. Then you have a well, but no water, because it takes electricity to run the pump to get the water out of your well. You have lights. You have fans. You have everything that you had before the power went out, but you can't use it. You can't use it. Just like we read in 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God has given us, now let's go to the spiritual side. God has given you everything you need to live a godly Christian life, but you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. You must have his power to access what God's given you. When you operate in the flesh, in the power of self, the spiritual blessings and benefits and gifts don't function to help you. When you live in the energy of the flesh, it isn't because God didn't give you what you need to live for him. It's because you don't have access to them. The power is out. When you act like the world and you think like the world and you meditate on the things of the world, there's no power. You have everything that everybody else has, but you can't access it because of what you're focusing on. Romans chapter 8 says this, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Listen, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When situations arise and we need God, we try to flip the switch. Nothing happens because the power's out. Because the power's out. I said, first of all, when the power's off, you have the same stuff you had when the power was on. You just can't use it. How about this? When the power is off, you have the same stuff you had when the power was on, but you can't enjoy it. Can't enjoy it. The refrigerator, it stops working. And then pretty soon, it's filled with rotten food. Filled with rotten food. The freezer, after a while, it's filled with rotten food, and the dog gets really nice meals, like real nice meals for a couple of days, because it's filled with rotten food. And what you had before, now not only does it not work, but you can't enjoy what you had before when you had power. When you had power. The TV doesn't work. You can point your remote at it all you want, but there's no movie to distract you, and there's no sports game to entertain you. You say, why? Because there's no power. Everything you had is there, but there's no joy, there's no pleasure, there's no peace, there's no contentment. Now let's go to the spiritual side. There are people that are saved and the Spirit of the living God has given them eternal life, but they've had no joy in the fact that they're saved for a long time. Do you know why? No power. No power. Everything they need to know to have a good home, a good marriage, a good life, good retirement has been given to them in God's word, but The Bible sits on the shelf, it's never read, and it brings no joy, no happiness, and no commitment, no contentment. If you're saved, just let me know, let me tell you something. You're a part of the body of Christ, and you're placed in Christ. But when there's no joy or happiness from the fellowship with other Christians, do you know why that happens? Power's out. Power's out. If you're saved, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation, soul winning. You've been, if you're saved, God tells us freely you receive, freely give. We've been given the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Christ from a foreign land in a foreign country. But there are Christians who've not had the joy of leading someone to the Lord since they can't remember when. Do you know why? There's no power. There's no power. Are they saved? Yes, they are. Are they part of the body of Christ? Sure they are. Are they an ambassador for Christ? Sure they are. You say, what's wrong? The power's out. How about this? When the power goes off, you revert back to living like you did before there was ever any power. Your electric toothbrush becomes useless. So you use what? Baking soda, like Grandma and Grandpa used to use before there was toothpaste, right? Your electric razor won't work. So you do what? You don't use it. You use shaving cream and maybe some type of a straight blade. Now, if you've not used one of those like hand things, don't start. You might want to consider growing a beard. You're going to look like you got in a fight with a saw blade and lost, okay? Your water heater becomes null and void. You know what you're going to do if the power goes out? You're going to heat bath water, or you're going to take a cold shower. Ah! You revert back to how you used to live, how people used to live before there was electric power. Nothing's going in the microwave. You open up the window if you need a breeze. The fan doesn't work, and there's no air conditioning. It needs to be cooked. If it needs to be cooked, it's going on a wood stove, it's going over a fire in the fireplace, or it's going outside on the grill, but you're not putting it on the electric stove. With gas pumps not working, your car won't run. There won't be jets in the air and a super transport system working. No, you're either going to be walking, riding a bike, skating, or riding a horse. I forgot, hoverboards. No, those are going to die too. Those need charging too. Ha! See? Ha! You're not going to be using any hoverboard. At any rate, you're going to be riding a bike or skating or riding a horse. But you're going to go back to the way it was before there was power. It's not because you don't have all kinds of modern conveniences under your roof. It's because the power's out. Power's out. And you can't live the way you used to live without the power. You see, you can be a saved child of God, and if your power goes out, you'll go back to living like you did before you got saved. Without the power of the Holy Spirit controlling your life and without God's power, you'll cuss like you used to cuss. You'll lie like you used to lie. You'll drink and do drugs and carouse around like you did before you got saved. People get in church and then someone says something they don't like or they think the pastor's sermon's against them. And once the power goes out, it doesn't take long for anyone to start living like they were before they were saved. Self-centeredness, nothing going my way, starts happening so fast after the power goes out. When a Christian isn't operated by and yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, carnality happens so fast. I'll give you the next point. Just some things I noticed about electrical power and spiritual power. Have you noticed when the power goes out, you quickly lose comfort? You lose comfort. We're also comfort-oriented. Pillows and padding are on every chair. Some chairs and beds and pillows, they're adjustable, you know, sleep by number. Your side's this way and their side's this way, and it's amazing. Without air conditioning, think about this, without air conditioning, in the summertime, the most comfortable chair you have loses its comfort. Nobody had smooth leather chairs in the 1800s when it was 95 degrees in the house. Sit in one of those sometime. This is my leather couch. Then the sweat begins. You get up and you look like you had an accident or something. It doesn't matter how many threads per inch your sheets are. When it's 2 a.m. and you're sweaty, who cares? What used to be comfortable 2 days ago now has no comfort because the power's out. It's not that the house or the stuff in the house. What's wrong is the power's gone. Now, when the power goes out, as a Christian, there's no comfort in the singing you used to love. There's no comfort in the preaching you used to love. Look, whether I enjoy comforting sermons and I enjoy convicting sermons. And when I'm right with God, I'm like, amen, preacher, turn it up. Make it happen. Woo, bring it on. And you ever notice when you're backslidden, it's like, whoa, that's too strong. When you're right with God, you like the preaching hot. Amen. When you're right with God, you want it. It's like, woo, he's coming from the book. That's good. Bring it on. But when you're backslidden, it's like, has he got a camera at our house? I mean, that's the first thing. Is he watching us? Does he have access to our security system? There's no more, when the power's out, as a Christian, and you don't use God's power, there's no comfort in the preaching. There's no comfort in the place you used to love. The place you sat isn't the same. The church isn't the same. But yet it's not the singing, Christian. It's not the preaching, and it's not the church. The problem is the power went out. That's the problem. How about this? When the power goes out, you be consumed with surviving, not serving. You start living for today instead of the next week and next month. Right? Because what's everybody want when the power goes out? Get on your cell phone. Call the power company. How many people don't have power? Okay, 300,000. Well, when's mine coming on? Right? They don't care about the other 300,000. When's my power coming back on? I want... I want it now. or what? You're going to switch power companies? I don't think so. No, you start becoming, when the power goes out, you become consumed with surviving. When the power goes out in your Christian life, you become consumed with self and not others. Proverbs 14:14 does say, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Let me give you just a few more points here. When the power goes out, it makes you thankful for the power, and it shows you how much you need the power. Right? I remember after that hurricane, we remember when the power went on. Because what are you doing? You're watching the neighborhood around when the light's coming on. I mean, every night, dark everywhere. No street lights, no house lights, no nothing. Night after night. I can't remember when it came on, but I remember it was like, everybody's like, yay, we got power. Yay, wow. How about this? How about instead of getting mad at God, you hit your knees and start begging God for his power? John 15:5 says this, I am the vine, Jesus said, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I can't do anything without God's power. Well, yes, you can. You can go through the motions, and that's all you can do. Well, I can go to church. You can go through the motions, and that's all you can do. Because Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything that's eternal. Nothing. No one turns on the light and thanks the Lord for the power unless the power recently went out. But who last night, when you were going through your house, flipping switches, turning on the lights, thank you, Jesus, for the power? We do take it for granted. We do, unless you just went through a power outage. If you're enjoying the Christian life, then could you please thank God for his power? Have you noticed when the power goes out, the darkness becomes real scary? John 8:12, Jesus said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When you have electricity, you don't care when the sun goes down. I remember working in the field, and my uncle would always say, 2 hours of daylight left. He'd be watching the sun. Hour of daylight left. When we were working, as far as, let's hurry up. Looks like we got about 30 minutes left. But when you're in the house and the power's on, nobody cares when the sun goes down. Because why? You turn on a light, right? You turn on a light. Nobody's talking. Hurry up. Sun's getting ready to go down. When the power goes out, you have until sundown, till either the candles are being lit, or if you don't have any candles, then there's no light. Listen closely. When the power's out, what you see in the daytime isn't creepy like when you hear something in the dark. You can be in the woods, you can hear something, and if it's daytime, you, huh? But when it's nighttime, and you hear something, what was that? What was that? During the daytime, when the lights are on, you can hear something on the roof, and the wife, it's like, might be a squirrel something. When you're laying in bed at night, you hear something, and it's all dark. Honey, what was that?
Probably the same thing it was when it was in the daytime. So what's the husband got to do? He's got to go up on the roof and check it out. No, I don't. I walk outside with my gun, but I'm not going up on the roof at 3 in the morning.
All I'm trying to let you know is what you see in the daytime isn't creepy like when you hear something in the dark. You respond to everything differently when the lights are out. And sometimes it's even an overreaction. How about this? Just to help you understand it. In the daytime, when we go out at our place, you know, and I'm out there, we're out working in the yard or something, you see a big spider web. And a spider, oh, that's, you know, ooh. I said a couple weeks ago, wow, that's a big spider. About, you know, it's about that big. It was in its web. And, you know, then the boy in me always wants to play with it and poke it, tick it off and cut the web and shh, our house is burning, you know, and you have fun with it. You respond a lot differently to a spider in the daytime, but when it's nighttime, you're laying in bed, you feel something crawl on you, you don't go, oh, that's a big spider. The Holocaust, you're doing this. You got the heebie-jeebies. The same spider during the daytime causes you to freak out at night. Now that's physically. Listen closely. That lets me know this, and I've seen this as a pastor. When your power goes out spiritually, you fear the government and things happening in the government like you've never feared it before. You fear the future like you've never feared it before. When you fear your power going out, death is not just a reality. Death is a monster. And where there used to be a residing in heaven, there now becomes a total, it's a total fear. I remember when Bill Clinton was president, you know, and they had the talk of, you know, what he was doing and things like that. When your trust is in the Lord, look, the animals up in Washington, they're going to act that way. And there's honestly nothing you can do about it. You can pray about it, and I suggest you do. Please be praying for your country. But you ain't changing them. I'm so glad President Trump is president. Watching President Obama destroy our country? Yeah, it was rough. What am I going to do about it? Nothing. You know what, all the stuff that we're watching? It's going to get worse before it gets better. That's what your Bible teaches you. It's not going to get, it's going to keep getting worse. As we get closer to Jesus coming, it's going to get worse. That doesn't excite me. It just lets me know Jesus is coming. Well, what are we going to do about it? I think we need to go soul winning. I think you need to keep praying and keep reading your Bible. Stay close to the Lord. Love God. Keep witnessing. But what are we going to do about it? Don't freak out. Well, what are we going to do if the power goes out? I highly suggest you don't spend money you don't have. Remember Y2K? We didn't. We were going to the spring. I'm not kidding you. One room in our house was filled with water jugs. Well, we found a free place to get water. We were getting the water. We didn't spend money we didn't have. I don't think any Christian ought to spend money you don't have. You're going to have to trust the Lord sometime. You're going to have to trust the Lord sometime. All I'm trying to let you know is this. It's when the power goes out spiritually, your fear escalates. When you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, the horrible things in this world, it just means, I've already told you, Jesus is coming. When your power is out, you literally live in fear. When your electric power goes out, you make a phone call. You want your power back on. I wish this would happen. I wish when the electrical power and that phone call. How many don't have power? 300,000? I don't care. I want power now. Selfishness comes out. How come? I wish when we found out we were powerless, we'd immediately start getting on the phone with God and say, God, I'm so sorry. I'm a powerless Christian. I've got to have your power. I don't want to live through life without you. I don't want to live my life as a Christian without you. And I'm sorry. And if we were as adamant about the electric power, I want it now. Can you imagine a Christian on their knees? God, I've got to have your power. Please give me your power, God. And a crying and a weeping for God's power. Please work through me. Please flow through me. Please use my mouth and my hands and my feet. Please use my life. Oh God! We're a lot more adamant about electrical power than we are physical power. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I wish we missed our spiritual power like we miss it when the electrical power goes out. My text verse tonight was having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. God says, from that, turn away. The title of the sermon tonight is When a Christian Has No Power. Let's pray. Father.